Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Thursday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bosser. The man who opened fire at Old Dominion University last week, killing an ROTC instructor, was enrolled as an online student at the Norfolk School. An ODU spokesperson told WTKR Television the school was not aware of Mohammed Jalal's 2016 conviction and prison sentence for attempting to help a terrorist group. He had been a student at ODU for a period before that conviction and re-enrolled after his release from federal prison in 2024. ODU officials say a 2022 state law prevents schools from requiring disclosure of an applicant's criminal history. Members of Virginia's General Assembly were considering a Senate bill to get rid of the last Confederate statues in Richmond until a House committee killed the bill. But Michael Pope tells us that the effort to ditch the statues is not a lost cause.
A statue honoring Confederate General Stonewall Jackson faces the center of the Virginia Capitol, perhaps the most prominent spot in all of Capitol Square. That statue, along with two others honoring the lost cause, were about to be removed because of a bill that passed the Senate that was included in the Senate budget. But then a House committee unexpectedly killed the bill at the last minute as budget negotiations between the House and Senate broke down. Former Senator Adam Eben of Alexandria introduced the bill to ditch the statues, and he says he's hopeful the effort will be resurrected during the budget special session next month.
I would have preferred the bill passed just to make it explicit, but I'm confident that it'll be in the final budget agreement, and I'm very hopeful that that will prevail.
One bill that did prevail was legislation to discontinue license plates honoring Robert E. Lee and the Sons of Confederate Veterans. That measure was introduced by Delegate Dan Helmer, a Democrat from Fairfax County.
Virginia needs to end itself being in the business of celebrating traitors who killed American soldiers to defend slavery. That's not who we need to be as a country, and we're going to finish the job of making sure that America is about celebrating all Americans.
The governor has until April 13th to make a decision about the Confederate license plates, and lawmakers are expected to return to Richmond to strike a deal on the budget April 23rd. Michael Pope.
The growing number of data centers could affect our electricity bills.
That's precisely why this last year we've seen an uptick in the use of our more expensive generation technologies like coal plants, and that is going to drive up electricity costs.
We'll hear the next story in a series by reporters Mason Adams and Roxy Todd about the economic drivers at play and what it means for Virginians. We'll have that story up shortly. New research from the University of Virginia shows people who have serious cases of COVID-19 or influenza face another risk after they've recovered. As Sandy Hausman reports, it offers another reason to be vaccinated.
At UVA's Center for Immunology Research, Ji Sun has been studying laboratory mice after they recovered from pneumonia linked to COVID or flu, and it turned out they were more likely to have inflammation and scarring of the lungs, conditions that put them at increased risk for lung cancer. His team also looked at the medical records of 900,000 people who had serious cases of COVID.
Severe cases, we define by people who need hospitalized.
They, too, were far more likely to develop lung cancer.
We found with a severe prior COVID infection, there's about 24% of an increase in subsequent lung cancer diagnosis.
He says people who have suffered bad bouts of COVID or influenza may want to be monitored more carefully in future, especially if they also smoke. And he hopes science will find a way to treat those who have lung inflammation or scarring to prevent them from developing cancer. In the meantime, he notes, vaccination does protect people from severe cases of COVID and flu. I'm Sandy Hausman.
A note of disclosure, the University of Virginia is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. Governor Abigail Spanberger was at the Virginia War Memorial in Richmond Wednesday for the annual Virginia Women Veterans Ceremony. Spanberger noted 1 in 12 Virginians is a veteran, as she promised to keep Virginia a top destination for veterans and those still in service.
And that includes making sure that our veterans can translate their service into civilian careers, that the women who have worn the uniform have demonstrated leadership and discipline and a commitment to mission, that translates into the skill sets that we know you all and all veterans have, but that employers understand that they want to hire.
Spanberger said she was committed to improving veteran training programs and pointed to her history with veteran town halls during her time in Congress as support for their future. Advocates for aging Virginians are praising the passage of legislation during the 2026 session, but they fear budget cuts could harm their members. Brad Kuttner explains why.
It is a major impact on quality of care when you have change in ownership.
That's Dana Parsons with Leading Age Virginia, an advocacy group for aging Virginians, speaking to what she called the existing trend of rapid transfers of ownership in Virginia's nursing home industry. But new legislation waiting for action by Governor Abigail Spanberger will require nursing home transfers to be reviewed by the Virginia Department of Health, a change Parsons welcomed.
I'm hoping that the results of this will be enhanced resident safety, accountability, transparency, and just really improving the quality of care overall.
Two matching bills were carried by Senator Barbara Favola and Delegate Rodney Willett. Willett said the effort was inspired by recent complaints about nursing homes around Central Virginia and worries about the increasing ownership of facilities by cost-cutting venture capital firms.
Just to make sure we know who they are, where they've been, and have they done a good job at operating other facilities.
The change was also welcomed by industry members, including Amy Hewitt with the Virginia Healthcare Association.
It closes a critical gap in resident protections by strengthening oversight during nursing home operator transition.
Spanberger has till April 13th to sign the measures, but Parsons' request for 2026 also included funding for new nurse training, more funds for area agencies on aging, and a long-term care ombudsman.
We are still advocating that those will be included in the final budget.
A special session to wrap up Virginia's budget is set for late April. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
The University of Richmond women's basketball team saw their season end Wednesday, losing to Nebraska in an NCAA first four game. The Spiders fell 75-56. Tonight, the UVA women's team takes on Arizona State in another first four matchup, and the VCU men's team faces North Carolina tonight in the tournament. Appalachian Power residential customers in Virginia pay some of the highest power bills in the state. During extreme weather in the winter and summer months, these bills spike. But what else is driving up costs? Reporters Roxy Todd and Mason Adams have been digging into the economics of our changing energy landscape. Today, they report on why we may see electricity bills continue to rise in the coming years.
If you're a customer of Appalachian Power in Virginia, more than 60% of your electricity comes from coal in West Virginia. Dominion customers also get some power from coal plants.
But here's the thing. Most of these coal plants run on a seasonal basis. They go harder during the winter and summer when electricity demand is high.
The coal industry would certainly like to be running the plants more efficiently, and they are trying to convince political leaders to keep these plants open, but we, the ratepayers, are the ones that are stuck paying the bill.
Jim Coatson is a volunteer with the Sierra Club in West Virginia. We're standing on the side of a winding road outside Shenston, looking at the Harrison Coal Preparation Plant. In front of us is a massive pile of coal, and Coatson says he's seen this at other plants. He thinks coal is being stockpiled at times when it's not economical to run the plants at high capacity.
Well, the market has clearly spoken. When there are lower cost sources of electricity available, these plants shut down. And that's one of the reasons why facilities like the power plants in West Virginia are running less than 50% of the time.
A representative from Appalachian Power, George Porter, confirmed this. They can't afford to run their coal plants right now at full capacity. Even 50% capacity is a little higher than they'd prefer.
All that does is increase costs for customers, and the goal is to try to keep costs down for our customers.
And electricity costs are already high, both in West Virginia and in Virginia. Part of the reason is how much it costs to keep up with grid infrastructure in rural mountainous areas. A lot of what we pay for goes to transmission lines.
But rising fuel costs are also driving bills up. When utility companies use coal instead of a cheaper fuel source, our costs go up. Now, customers in Appalachia don't pay the country's highest rates for electricity. Hawaii and New England pay more, but bills here have increased faster than the pace of inflation. And there's another thing driving up costs. Growing energy demand from
data centers?
You got it. Here's economist William Shobe. He's an economics professor emeritus at the University of Virginia. He projects that by next year, data centers in our state will use more electricity than residential customers.
They will be the single largest segment of electricity demand in Virginia. That's happened really fast. It caught us all by surprise. And it takes institutions quite a lot of time to catch up to something like this.
That's because the demand for electricity is growing faster than developers and regulators can get new power plants up and running. And so coal, suddenly, is even more needed.
And that's precisely why this last year, we've seen an uptick in the use of our more expensive generation technologies like coal plants. And that is going to drive up electricity costs for consumers because we have to run our more expensive plants more often in order to meet the demand. If you're a customer of Appalachian Power, a good share of your electricity is coming from those plants in West Virginia that are being forced to run in an uneconomic way to support the local coal industry.
So according to Shob, as we see more and more data centers, we may see our bills getting even higher in the years to come.
Jennifer Chumbly lives in Russell County, and she's worried about that too.
Running these big AI data centers, you know, they're going to have to build new plants to do so. And with that comes more rate increases.
Appalachian Power will have another rate case in Virginia this year. If approved, any increase would go into effect starting in 2027. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
And in Blacksburg, I'm Roxy Todd.
Roxy and Mason wrap up the reporting on this series next Thursday. You can also find it on our website. It's at radioiq.org. In the forecast, fairly cloudy today, but warmer headed into the weekend. Today, pretty cloudy with highs in the mid-50s to around 61 for a high in Roanoke and Danville. Some clearing overnight, lows fall to the low to upper 30s. Some clouds will fill back in Friday, possibly a shower or two by the evening. Breezy, highs in the low 60s to 72 in Roanoke and Danville. Pretty cloudy Saturday, fairly breezy. Highs in the upper 60s to 78 for a high in Roanoke and Danville. Thanks for listening to Virginia On Demand. A little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.